Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Carty from Managing Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. Today, Matt, good thing you didn't prepare, because there is no topic today. The people have spoken. They just like to hear us chat about things. They think it's funny that you don't prepare. So I thought I would join you in not specifically preparing for this.
This can't be real. This cannot be
this
a real
This is so
idea.
Real. It's a very real idea. So we're going to come up with that on the fly.
Well, like I wrote down in my speech from the podcast anniversary party, I should read it, the speech. We never actually read the speech that I prepared, and you didn't prepare anything.
I did not prepare. I knew it. I had some ideas of what I was going to say, but I didn't prepare anything.
I will fold like a cheap shirt if I keep the ideas just in my head. I'll get up there and completely fumble them. Apparently, I did that when I proposed to Meg.
Oh.
In my mind, I still vividly remember a pretty solid proposal. And apparently all I said was bumbling, I think I said, "You're amazing and you're beautiful and will you marry me?"
Oh yeah.
I said two things. But in my head it was this big,
it's so eloquent
grand gesture. Yeah, nice. It was good. Did someone actually suggest that we do this?
No. Not specifically. But I think people seem to really like that it's not prepared. But at least you know, our running joke is that you don't prepare. We will sometimes have some topic conversations, but the point is to be ourselves on this podcast and not be scripted, or we're not playing roles.
Right. Well, I made this comment in the speech that I never ended up making, a question of what do you think made this podcast so successful? Where I say, hey, I don't prepare for the recordings themselves.
Yeah.
And not that I feel it necessary to differentiate this now, but I don't prepare for the recordings. I don't know the topics ahead of time, which isn't entirely true. From a social perspective, a month before, if we're recording, I'll know what the topic is.
Yeah.
But I don't know when we're recording it. I don't know what day. I don't know what's happening in that regard. I know that we record them on Mondays, and that's it. But I don't know what day we're recording what. I know when we have guests. I do most of the guest recording, I guess. We used to prepare. I used to prepare. I just found it was not boring, but it felt too scripted. I never liked the idea of sounding like I was reading off a script. I think that would be boring as heck to me. So I don't prepare for the recordings, but what I say here is we spend so much time thinking about how to make the podcast better and what we can do with it. And then I went into some appeal about paying us for a sponsorship.
Nice.
It wasn't so bad. But I just don't think I would be interested in listening to a prepared podcast, but maybe that's just me guarding myself and convincing myself because I know I'm not going to take the time to prepare either. So,
yeah, I think thinking of the idea of not preparing or just being able to have discussions. And I think sometimes in the world, we're so conditioned to want to have too many meetings or big broad discussions or too much preparation without the practice of just having a conversation and seeing what happens in that conversation. I think we need, on a business perspective, you need both. You still need some meetings, but there's lots of ways to make them shorter and shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. But then make sure you fit in that non-structured time to talk about it, or talk about how do we make we talk about the podcast. How do we make it better? How do we make sure that we're doing our core thing that we want to do? How do we, plan our next phases? What parts of those really matter? What don't they? when you have those unstructured times to talk about it, it ends up being better mm-hmm. for the podcast. And I think businesses probably need to do that more as well, because there's always this, like, some people just get lost in running their business and they don't really talk about the future, or they talk about the future in a way where they're like kind of playing a role versus actually thinking about what they want it to be like in a free form, relaxed conversation.
I try really hard to talk naturally while recording this too. And it's something I actively try to do better. And today, the ones that we recorded, I feel more comfortable than I ever have. Like, I'm trying really hard to remove myself from the recording. I think after like 3 years, it's slowly setting in. Having guests has been really helpful, but I've found the more I think about it, and maybe it's my brain hearing the feedback that we've gotten a lot of the last couple months, where they like that it's casual. They like that it's a, like you said, backseat conversation. It's easier for me to lean into. Like, I feel almost alarmed that we're recording this today.
It's kind of weird.
Feel so casual today, which is good, though.
Yeah, and it's not always about being super serious. I think people need permission to be casual sometimes. And that's kind of why we want to listen to it, because it's like we get so wound up with what we think we need to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like, welcome in, everyone. Like, this podcast is for you, and we want you to feel a bit more relaxed. And I have a feeling we're going to go on a journey here and talk about some things that end up being really important and really good ideas.
Challenge accepted.
Without having to force it.
Yeah. I think being a business owner is all about being kind of who you are and not putting up guards and being natural. And I think since I started Matagy Digital almost 5 years ago now, like, this is the most comfortable I've ever been. Now that I'm not over the hump and whatever that means, but like, it's the most comfortable I've ever been career wise and professionally. And I'm now, yeah, you're right. Maybe we're going to talk about something a lot deeper than I thought too. Cause like, I think I had imposter syndrome before I even had my own job. Like, I was never, this is going to sound like we're going into therapy for a moment. Some people are going to laugh at this. I'm still not the smart guy. And I joke about that sometimes, but like, I was never the smart guy growing up. I was never the guy in my friend group that was the smartest. There was a doctor, an engineer, and an accountant, and all these things. And I was the idiot. I got along with everybody and I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't like a loser, but I was getting B's. I was getting C's. I was like, that's not going to do anything in university for me. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to business. People laugh like to your face behind your back about going to college even 15 years ago. It's different now. But like, I was always kind of like the idiot. And I think I always never felt like I fit in. This is ridiculous that we're having this conversation. I'm sorry, but I'm leaning into it. Like, I just never felt like I was smart enough for any job that I had. Like, the first job that I had, for the window cleaning equipment company, where I got my foot in the door because I was sitting beside the owner's son and we worked well together. And I almost swore. I carried his butt through school on a couple projects. So he got me in there. And then I moved up to like marketing rep and like all these other things. And then that job I met, I was always like, I never felt comfortable there. And I always like, all the old guys always talk down to you, but that's just like old boomer mentality, right?
Yeah.
And then I worked with a guy there that went over to the Big Search digital agency, who then reached out to me. He's like, hey, you got to come over to digital. I'm like, I don't know a thing about digital. And then I remember talking about in my presentation for that job interview, because you had to do a presentation on digital. Like, it's like so cringe. It made no sense in hindsight. But like, it just got myself in the door there. And I always just felt stupid there too. And like, the owners never thought I was serious and they never really understood me. And I remember the owner, not of that place, but the one before, saying to my boss, like, I just don't get him. Because like, numbers like maybe didn't add up, or like, they just didn't understand like the number side of me, or row ratio and all this Roby-Dah and whatever, all those nonsense. But like the managers always were like, get him in a room with people. And like, I could build rapport and I'm a nice guy. And I was thinking too, like when employment was like somewhat not collapsing, but I'm like, I don't know, this is for me. I was like, how do you monetize being a nice person? How do you monetize building rapport? And like, it sounds phony, but I'm like, what do I become, a motivational speaker? Like, I'm not that. It's ridiculous. It was just, I'm just like, I'm passionate about marketing, digital marketing, which is funnier because now, like, I look back and I wasn't that passionate about it. Now I am. Now I'm super passionate about marketing.
I think passion develops. I think our expertise develops. Like, that's kind of part of the journey of life. Something really interesting you said. Do you know what one of the biggest, or I think I've heard it, the biggest indicator of success is, you know, as it relates to sort of business school and future success, more than the name of the college, more than all the stuff that you do, more than the classes, what you learn, is who you sit beside the very first day. And I remember hearing that, and you know, you just talked about like, I happen to be sitting beside this person, and it just starts you on that journey. Being a nice person, you know, now that I'm, you know, I teach at college and I see things, it's like when you do that presentation for a job, it probably doesn't matter what you said. Even so, I had to do a fake class to get my job at the college, and a mutual friend, Russell, who everybody knows and lots of people have taught him, I kind of mentioned something about it, and he made like a joke of like, as long as you said one of these three things, your job, you were going to be successful in it. So it's like all this noise, there's soft skills they're looking for. What's this person like in a room? And then we, you know, teach them some things. It's not about how much you know, but it is about, you know, finding yourself, being the person you are. That's who people want to deal with. Like, we are humans. I know we've talked about, you know, AI. And like, you can go online and there's a million bot stores trying to get your business. If you don't understand any of it, you're going to pick the person who helps you feel understood, that you just want to deal with, and that's your skill. So the fact that you kind of went deep and talked about this journey and how you're now feeling more and more comfortable than you ever have, like that's exactly how it should be for business. And you're building your business the way you want your business to be.
I love it. Things are smooth. I think we're busier than we ever have been, but part of me that's like, are we that busy? Because I still associate business with chaos and being running around and being wildly stressed. I can't tell you the last time I worked at night. I've had to, I want to say, jump in on a weekend and do something that takes like not even 5 minutes, but I don't even know if that's true. I answer text messages of like people that will work with me. But I still associate
this is
busy because I also don't want to say this out loud too, but I said something to you and other people. I got bored last week on Thursday at like 11 o'clock. Something in the afternoon fell through, a call got pushed or whatever. So I didn't have to do that anymore. I finished and then like the rest of the day was going to be working with them. And I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And then I was like, everything was kind of running smoothly. Everyone's doing what they should. I went to like a sauna. I looked at those. I'm like, man, I did half of these months ago. Clicked through all those. Looked at some stuff. I don't really want to do this right now. I kind of went home.
That's
like, I don't know, what am I going to do? I'm going to board.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to like celebrate that. And sometimes it's, you worked so hard that something changes, you don't have to have another fire to put out. You'd say, I sound like, you know, Les and Hillary now. It's a limiting belief that working in your business or your marketing needs to be chaos all the time or busyness. We program everyone into being busy, and we you know, don't necessarily have to be, or we can continually work on our own capabilities so that we're not as, you know, busy. I'm going through the same thing, and it's really weird for me because my whole life, I kind of ran from like putting out fires. Mm-hmm. Even like I've been very busy lately, but the nature of some of that work, when I step back and look at it, I'm like, this is all things that I want to do and I like. It doesn't feel like work after a career of like running into the fire and putting out fires. And at the end of the day, for me, it's like if I do nothing all day and then 2 hours of core hard of the work I love, it's way more effective than chasing to put out fires for 20 hours used to be. And it's part of that personal growth to get there.
I don't know if it was a limiting belief that Hillary spoke about from State of Mind Hypnosis when I was doing that hypnotherapy. But at one point we talked about this, or like my schedule in the summer, where I was like, I feel guilty. Guilt is like a big feeling that I have about a lot of stuff. Nothing, I think that's actually tangibly bad, or definitely not illegal, but just like guilty things that I feel quite often. And I think one of them was that I need to be busy to be successful. Or it was like, you have to work hard to be successful, and to remove that as a limiting belief from my mind. I came to terms with it pretty quick afterwards of like that understanding, no, you worked really hard and this was your focus.
Yeah.
Maybe not from day one, but for years now. Like when we started this podcast, I was fixated on the who, not how, because you introduced that to me. And then like, we just talked about it today during our coaching session. We're what, 3 years later? No, 2 years probably after since I started looking into that. I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, I got it. Not I figured it out. There's still massive gaps that are still being addressed today with process and systems and stuff. But today it was like, wow, I got bored the other day. And not like everything else collapsed and people are mad. Like, no, everything was going smooth. Now what do I do?
Now it's like you're freeing up more time to get into rooms with people.
Yes.
Which is like back to your core. Here's what I'm good at. So you're a great, we have a faithful listener of the show who had the opposite summer that you had, who wants a summer like you want.
Who? Give me a clue. I won't say
anything. I'll tell you after. But, you know, one of the things they said was, you know, you've been asking me for a year what I want. Mm. And it was like, well, I don't want to be burnt out. So just on that journey of knowing what you want and then designing your business for you is part of that evolution of being able to feel comfortable. And, you know, your business is you, the way you structure your engagements, the way you structure your staff and people and how you deliver value, it's all built around you and your preferences and the life that you want. That's a hard thing to do. Like you need to keep celebrating that because everyone says they want to do that, but then they're not willing to take those steps to get there.
It's risk too. I don't know if it's been luck, but the people I work with, so like a lot of the contractors that do a lot of work with me, they're of the similar mindset. Like they want to work X amount of time. They don't want to work 40 hour weeks even, or 60, 80 hour weeks. So that's been good. But I think I don't know if it's luck, but the businesses that I've worked with are so chill. That new chemical company that I started working with months ago, and her and I talked about it the other day, where she was like, I can tell like you want to get going faster. And I said to her, I was like, it's not that. It's just, I'm not used to someone that's so calm and so patient. Like, you're what we want. You're what we preach. But like, now I found it.
Yeah.
And like, I told her that in the summer I was really nervous because I've taken a bunch of time off and we're just starting this relationship, and that's when you need to be most like involved. And she was just fine with it all. And like, she likes his pace.
It's the clarity. It's the pace. It's the reality too of finding people who match what you're trying to do. And I think what's neat about this conversation and what it's evolved into, it's
why Matt's awesome.
Why Matt's awesome. But like, busy people find busy people. Or if you're putting out fires, they find people putting out fires. And there's just chaos everywhere. And so many places thrive on it. And until you make the choice to kind of remove yourself from that chaos, and then you still go through chaos as you get out of it, but it does get bit by bit easier and easier. And to me, that's like kind of the hard work that you put in to be able to live and have a business where you get to do your best work and it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And then you get bored because, you know, it wasn't that, hey, I have nothing to do today. It was the thing I had planned fell through and I don't have a fire to put out because I'm so good at structuring everything else. So, hey, it's like free surprise afternoon. Just take, like, that's a win to me.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I've been doing this for 5 years, and then 3 years ago started thinking about like, how do I make this more serious and systems and everything. It wasn't like a smooth process. Last January, February was probably the lowest point for me mentally, professionally, of like a bunch of stuff didn't go right and it was bad and I was really unhappy about it. I was like, this is all falling apart. And now we're not even 12 months away from it. And like, we're celebrating a lot. We're celebrating a lot of stuff pretty often now. And like, we're not free. It's never going to be perfect, but like, things are really good. Things are really smooth. And like, there's no reason why it would like fully collapse. So
yeah, I think it's, well, we get these fears of things collapsing, and I get it too. I'm like up and down lately where, yeah, you get this all is lost moment. But then sometimes it's like, well, let's look objectively at what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And like, I know for me, I've recently had these like, why am I here? This is all terrible. Everything's going down. But then objectively, it's like, no, actually, you just had your busiest, best month ever. And there's no reason it's not going to repeat or you can't do that again. Yeah. Like, because I know for me, it's like, you get that long time conditioning and, you know, being at the bank, it's like everything's a fire every day. Mm-hmm. And it's an emergency. And
sure,
you know, I have no desire to ever have a flashing phone with a voicemail thing on it ever again in my life, because you just never know what that voicemail is going to be. And like, you know, where your evening's going to go in, cause you know, you're trying to put out all these fires. And you have to pull yourself out of that type of thing. And it's okay to feel a little bit up and down, but you're taking those steps to create what it is you actually want.
It's a cultural thing of always putting out fires and always being chaos and everything being an emergency. Like, I remember too, working for agencies, and they're like, you got to answer within X amount of time and deal with these things right away. Like, I've had less than 5 real emergencies from a marketing perspective. I bet you it's 2. I can think of like 2 that were legit.
That's
but otherwise, like, there's no time marketing is an emergency.
Yeah.
And like, marketing agency culture is everything is an emergency. Drop everything. Chaos, chaos, chaos. All these deadlines, all this nonsense. It's not true. Nothing is ever an emergency in marketing.
And it's what's cool about that is there's like a couple things is I would love to see people's real stats on when things actually happen.
Mm.
And oftentimes, you know, there's the planning fallacy of we have, you know, I have this project, I want it done on this date, and we arbitrarily make up that date.
Yeah.
And then we want it done early, and then we rush, and then we miss it. And everyone beats themselves up versus, you know, you still need to do things by deadlines, but if you plan it properly and you have in a bit of wiggle room, then you're not putting out fires.
That's the thing that I don't know if I should ask the people that I work with, the contractors, if my deadlines drive them nuts. Kristen is good for this. She's like, she knows my deadlines mean usually nothing because they're kind of like, let's get them done by then. Yeah. We need to put a date on it. The client, the people that work with probably don't even know when they're getting it. So like she for a while was like, what's your actual due date for this? And I'll tell like, okay, this is when I'm meeting with people, this is when I actually need it. Yeah. But that's a planning thing. That's poor planning.
It's a planning. Like, it's a communication thing. I think, you know, doing some work for you, it's like, it's nice to know what's a real deadline, what's a not. Sometimes part of the creative process is some things go well, things don't go well. But it's that culture of not having fires to put out allows you then the freedom to do your better work. I was listening to a podcast from the Strategic Coach Network, and there was somebody who was worth like hundreds of millions of dollars who was talking about their own panicking about things at deadlines and how for them, it took them a forced vacation where all these things they thought were emergencies, nothing bad happened when they didn't like do them or check their email to realize like, oh, like it's not the end of the world. And even I've been very busy. There's always a juggling of deadlines and different work. And sometimes you miss something and you have this intense internal fear of panic, like, oh, what's going to happen? And often clients don't really even notice, or something comes up on their end that changes something anyway. And it's like, oh, good thing I didn't waste my time doing that, because now you're changing the deadline and I have something else that impacts it. So sometimes these things just kind of work out, and it's easier when you're working, doing the kind of work you like with people you like, and you're kind of on the same page. You now have a foundation to work within these things.
Well, that's what Hillary said too, to bring back to that hypnotherapy from State of Mind Hypnosis, was a lot of the feelings that you have, and guilt being one of them, is like, who's making you feel that way? Who's saying that to you?
Yeah.
And a lot of it's internal, and it's not what other people are saying. It's not what your friends and colleagues and accounts are saying. It's you internally. And it's like, I don't know if it's a limiting belief, but I don't know how to put it in there.
Yeah,
their
it's your
terms,
own thing. And like,
it's your own emotion and own feeling that you're kind of not handcuffing yourself with, but it's your own mind that you need to work on.
It's funny because now that you say this, I think about like, you know, we get so uptight about deadlines and perfect. And sometimes it's like, because we don't know what's going to happen. I was the, you know, A student, handed everything in on time, and especially in high school, like I didn't even know you could hand in stuff late. But the reality is like almost everyone hands in everything late. And like, I didn't even know that. Same with, you know, college, university, like I teach at college, and like, you know, the grand secret is most professors will work with you for everything. Even in like, I think about like, I was in the army, and like you watch stuff, what happens on the movies, and it's like, well, what's going to happen to me if I, you know, fall down on a run or something like that? And it's like, it's not that dramatic. Like no one's chasing you with a whip, right? Like all of these things that weigh on our mind, like it's not the end of the world necessarily. Now, if you're chronically missing deadlines, maybe, or like just not doing your work, that could be bad, but that's probably just not the right fit for a job. But otherwise, things, you know, if you're in the right world with the right partners, there's a lot of forgiveness around.
The HVAC company that I work with, last meeting I had with them, they were like, what's going on with the text feature that we sent you like 3+ months ago? And I honestly just ate it. I was like, I totally messed up. I dropped the ball, install it. I was like, I got time right now. We got off the call. No one was mad. But they're like, hey, what's going on with this? And I just was like, I messed up.
Yeah.
Let me deal with this. It took 4 seconds to complete.
Because I think in my head, too, I was like, this is going to be a pain. But it literally took 4 seconds. I went to the email they sent me. It was a snippet, like one line. I copied it. I opened up the website, dropped it where it was. I was like, I think this is live. And they're like, oh, yeah, but like, don't turn on. We're not ready for it.
Yeah, I was going to just say, before you got to the end of that, it was like, they probably noticed it a month ago. And then we're like, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because there is this domino effect, and this kind of loops back to how hard it is to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I was teaching this morning, teaching some students. I think I'm different than a lot of professors in that sometimes these things that look little, I'm actually praised them for. So it's like some of them, you know, sent some emails out to businesses they wanted to work with. They didn't get a response. Is that a failure? Not at all. The fact that they actually took the initiative to do it is something so many people don't do. And I was not surprised at all they didn't get a response back, because that's the nature of business. And we have to learn these things. You know, actually getting stuff across the finish line is hard. You know, celebrate if you're starting a business the first time someone sends you money. Celebrate it. Like, I recently had someone send me biggest payment I've ever received for anything. I'm just celebrating, because it's hard to get someone to send you a dollar, let alone send you thousands of dollars. And yet we're bombarded with all this info about, oh, it's easy to, you know, just set up a passive income stream.
Oh, God.
And, you know, make 5 different products and just, you know, sit back and watch the money roll in. And then we all think these people are suddenly rolling in money. It's hard to just do these things. So, like,
passive income channels, I think, are harder to be successful.
And they're not really passive.
No, like, you have to spend a fortune marketing wise, or hope that you find like the magic spell for it to catch fire and be viral or something. And it used to be like, what was that guy? Ryan something? I can't remember the book. Four important things for marketing. It's like a kind of iconic marketing. One of the four, I read it recently. One of the four was, do something viral. What? Like, you're intentionally trying to do something viral? What is going on?
Have a great innovative idea. Exchange value for money.
Yes.
You know, all these like things that are easy to do, but they're hard.
Yeah.
That's even like, you know, to roll back to our podcast. It's easy to say, well, just have a 30-minute podcast every week for 3 years.
Oh.
Like, to actually execute and do that is really hard. So you have to celebrate actually doing it. So, like, all of these things we've talked about in our No Topic episode are like part of the journey. And like, you have to just do it. It's so funny how this works out, and I'm thinking a lot of our pals Les and Hillary, who are probably like, if they're listening, maybe will like this episode. But I was having a text conversation with a former student today who's working in banking.
That sounds like sexual harassment.
And, okay.
That's a different topic.
And they're being offered to go to like this other company. Someone's trying to get them to go to like a commission only sales role, and it's like investment advising role. And that whole world, I was like, don't do it, is my advice, because you go from, you just don't have the experience yet to really be great at pure commission sales, because you haven't gone through some market cycles yet. Experience, you know, lots of knowledge is great, but until you know what it's like to watch the market drop and go up, and you know, it's hard to advise people through that. And the only way to get the experience is going through it and doing it, trying to get better. So it's like all these business things, these, you know, sitting beside someone in class and then getting into a room, you know, doing bad presentations, but they still work out. And you know, always pursuing and being more like yourself and trying to get more comfortable is really, I think, what everyone probably listening to this is trying to do.
That's true. Because, the other day when I can't even remember if I've spoken about this already. Conversations. But I was going to sit, did I talk about the timber people?
Yeah.
Already? So I was going to talk to them, and I had said to you, I'm not bringing my laptop. I'm not putting a presentation together. I'm not even bringing my laptop. I didn't even bring a bed with a notepad. Literally showed up with a jacket on and just met him. I shook his hand.
That was the point of the meeting, though.
That was the whole point, though. I actually thought about it critically. I'm like, am I going to get this sale with numbers? Am I going to get this sale showing them stuff? These guys just want to meet me and see if I'm a real person.
What's it like to work with this
Absolutely.
Person?
Absolutely. And I think if I tried to show them a pitch or something I'm prepared, they wouldn't work with me.
It would have been awkward.
No, I shook the guy's hand and I told him how scary tall he was. He must have been like 5 feet tall.
Yeah. Like, you are a giant.
I said, like, you are scary tall. They started laughing. And his business partner's like, our height. You're much more reasonable. But they were great. They talked a lot about people that they hire internally, externally. It's all about, like, are they good people? Are they genuine? Or like, they asked about, do I want to grow? Not in so many words, but, like, they don't want to work with a business that's just kind of cool.
They don't want the hustle, bro. We had a episode scheduled, and it didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, where it's like, are you a stepping stone? And that's a good example. They don't want to be a stepping stone for your growth.
Yeah.
They want you to help their business grow. It's not you hustling to be the $10 million agency, and they're just a step along the way that you kind of don't care about.
Sure.
Right? So it's like, you don't want people who are shrinking and retiring.
Yeah.
But you don't always want the heavy hustle bro who's going to grow and crash and burn.
Yeah. And I forget the whole conversation, but the gist of it was, like, we want to work with a business that is growing, that wants to grow. And I was like, not really prepared to do this. And I've never done this. It sounds like I say it all the time, but I don't normally say this, but, like, I've also got this co-working space. I've also got this podcast that we've been doing for 3 years. Yeah. And, like, I kind of wrapped all that. And you can kind of see that, like, oh, yeah, this is the guy from us.
Yeah, you want the intentional, someone who's focused on that.
Right? Yeah.
Versus sitting back. And it's sort of like the passive income conversation, right? Like, I don't want to be someone's passive income unless they've created something great that I can, you know, buy sometimes a course, or there's a things that they're monetizing that are niche and I like it, but, like, they're still putting work into that. But, like, I don't want to just be someone's monthly check for something that gives me no value.
Like Busty Bibs. Can we do an episode for Busty Bibs?
Your spouse might murder me if I allow for that.
She's so mad about it. Still, she spilled stuff on herself twice in the last 2 weeks, and I just looked at her and she's like, don't even say it.
Yeah. It's Matt's business idea that he's just going to lean back and rake in some money for.
I've said this out loud to you. I've said this out loud to other people. I want to make so much money that I can start this business just to spite her. I actually think it's a good idea. I want to have so much money that's like, I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
You want to try out your idea.
It's a fun, ridiculous idea. I think it will make money. Do you think it will make money? Quickly. Like, it'll quickly, it'll crash and burn.
My initial thing is no, but it's possible. I know a guy who has the Canadian license for hair hat. Which, if you've ever seen, like, the visors that have, like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And I used to have one, and he had all these ones, and his, like, basement was, like, full of them. And he was, like, every day while he ate his breakfast, he would, like, orders would come in, he'd sell, like, 5 a day, and he would just package it up while he ate his breakfast, drop it off at the post office on the way home, and he was just always surprised at who was buying these, you know, hair hats. So I think of Busty Bibs like that, where I think marketed properly could be a little, like an interesting thing, or it could like quickly go viral. But I wouldn't plan on that as a strategy.
No, but I do think there's a gap in the market because I've looked at bibs for adults and they're all like big, white, unattractive, just blue, giant bibs for like sad old geriatrics. Like, I'm rocking. This is another episode. I want to save my pitch for Dusty Bibs.
Yeah, let's save that on that note. Thank you for bearing with us on this completely ridiculous.
This is the best podcast we've ever recorded, for the record.
But I think it's really good. It's going off the rails at the end, but I think Les and Hillary will be proud of us. I think we really, I told everyone it would work out to be magical. And I think it's good. So if you would like to be part of this magic, send us an email to set it up at coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.